Shalom Mishpucha. Shalom family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar on the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. Her name, Sharon Allen. She's one of the 10 Jewish people that I put in my book that God directed me to write. It's called They Thought for Themselves. 10 Jewish people from 10 different backgrounds and walks of life all came to the same conclusion. They thought for themselves and realized that Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus, is in fact the Jewish Messiah. We found out all this week that Sharon, who was raised in an observant Jewish home, went to the West Coast. She married a man that wasn't Jewish, but they were members of a very religious Jewish synagogue, and her husband participated. It was time now for him to convert to Judaism, and everything was going fine, but because this was a Orthodox group of Jews, he had to renounce Jesus, and he said, I'm not willing to do it. And Sharon was shocked because, she knew he came from a Christian background, but he never went to church. He never read the Bible. His God was money. He was in real estate business. And so to prove that he was, as she put it, meshuga, that's a Hebrew word for crazy, she started reading the scriptures and reading. And the more she read, the more convinced she became that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. Then she said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll read all the Jewish commentaries. So she got quite a library. She read all the Jewish commentaries she could get her hands on. Then she started reading what are called anti-missionary books. These are books written by rabbis or Jewish people that want to prove Jesus is not the Messiah. She got into quite an exchange with a man that wrote one of the more famous anti-missionary books, and his name's Gerald Siegel. And on yesterday's broadcast, you were saying that you would argue with him because now you had read the scriptures for yourself, and when he would make statements that were untrue, you wouldn't leave it alone. For instance, he said that Jesus could not be the Messiah because there's no women in Jewish genealogies. And what did you say?
Well, in First Chronicles, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the book of Chronicles, First Chronicles, there most definitely are women in that Jewish genealogy. And so there were things like that kept occurring.
But Sharon, I mean, it's overwhelming. Everything you're doing is pointing to, as you call him, that man, Yeshua, Hebrew for Jesus. Why didn't you just believe in him? What's stopping you?
You know, to me, it was the most important decision that anyone could ever make. And because of my background, I was so concerned about making a mistake. There was just no way that I was going to believe in something that I felt was so goyisha. You know, I just could not understand, you know, how this confusion could even happen. Because if Jesus is for the Jewish people, why wouldn't the rabbis have understood that? And so, and of course, I was always raised to respect my rabbis, to believe what my rabbis would say. And this is the most important decision in anyone's life, is God, making a choice for God. And so it just was so difficult for me. And but it's true. Everywhere I looked, everywhere I turned, everything I read, everything I heard, everything I saw kept pointing me into the direction that what they say about Yeshua is true.
Now, your daughter, of course, as you explained earlier this week, is going to what you would expect, the Hebrew Academy, a nice Jewish school.
Yes.
And you find out they're having a meeting at this school with a very famous rabbi. Tell me, what was this meeting?
Well, my rabbi, Rabbi Mendel Duckman, had called me, and he had said, you know, at Elisa's school, there's going to be this very famous deprogrammer. He is actually an internationally known deprogrammer by the name of Rabbi Emanuel Shochet, and he's going to be speaking at Hebrew Academy. And maybe, you know, you can go, and maybe at some point, you know, you can ask him to help you. And so Ron and I and Elisa decided we would go, and we were very excited about going. We were comfortable about going because this is my daughter's school. We know everyone there. And but before we went, we had devised a plan, and this was the plan, that we would go. We would sit very quietly in the audience. We wouldn't say a word. And then after the meeting was over, and only after everyone was leaving, then I would quietly go up to the rabbi and ask him if he could please help me. So we went. We went that evening, and we sat up front because this was Elisa's school. We were very comfortable there, and Elisa was on one side of me, and Ron was on the other, and we sat there, and we listened to the rabbi. The rabbi spoke about Israel and a little bit about the Jewish people and traditions, and this was being used really as an outreach to the Jewish community, so that those that were not sending their children to Hebrew Academy might decide that yes, they would like to send their children to a Jewish day school like Hebrew Academy. And so, when the rabbi was finished speaking, he opened it up to the audience, and the first person raises their hand, says, "No, I have a question. You know, I don't know what we're going to do about the missionaries who are in the area." And the rabbi said, "Oh, you don't have to worry about the missionaries in the area. You just have a Jewish home and you don't have to worry." And he said, "Does anyone else have any questions?" And then the second person raises their hand and says, "Well, rabbi, you don't understand. These missionaries are having meetings with our children in the area. And, you know, we don't know what to say to them." And the rabbi said, "Look, if you send your children to a Jewish day school like Hebrew Academy, you don't have to worry." And he said, "Anybody else?" And now the third person raises their hand and says, "Rabbi, you don't understand the situation. There are missionaries who are having Bible studies with our children, and our children are bringing home scriptures that we don't understand." Well, at that point, the rabbi became quite animated. He was standing on a platform, and he had a podium in front of him, and he grabbed the sides of the podium, and he sort of like brought his body up over the podium and loomed out into the audience, and he shouted, he said, "Never, ever, under any circumstances, does any knowledgeable Jew who has a Jewish home, who understands Yiddishkeit, who knows their Judaism, ever turns to that man." And I was in shock because I thought, he's talking to me. And so I grabbed Elisa's hand. I said, "Do you think I should say something?" And Elisa said, "Yes, Mommy." And I grabbed Ron's hand and I said, "Do you think I should say something?" And Ron said, "Yes." And so I said to the rabbi, "Rabbi, what do you say to somebody like me? I have a Jewish home. I know Yiddishkeit. I am a Jewish woman who understands Judaism. But when I read my Bible," and I had brought my Hebrew Bible with me, and I was holding it in my hand, and I said, "But when I read my Hebrew Bible, I see that man." Well, from that moment until the end of the evening, which was about 12 midnight.
Now, you're pretty bold, Sharon. I mean, up until this point, I mean, now you're publicly saying something.
I couldn't help myself. After the third person asks the same question, and the rabbi was so emphatic with his answer, and my daughter said yes, and my husband said yes, I felt I had to say something. And when I said that, from that moment on, the rabbi and I were in direct dialogue the rest of the evening until about 12 midnight. But during the course of the evening, during the course of the discussion between he and I, both my husband and I would say to the rabbi, maybe we should let someone else talk. And the audience themselves would say, no, we're interested in what you're saying and what you're talking about, because the rabbi and I were talking about scripture. We were talking about Jewish history. We were talking about Yiddishkeit. We were talking about traditions that the Orthodox Jewish people keep, which seems to point to the idea that we do need to sacrifice, even if we don't have the temple any longer. Because the Orthodox Jews, we still have certain traditions that we do, such as on Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur, the Orthodox Jewish people, for the man, they take a rooster, and three times they turn the rooster on over their head, you know, swirl the rooster over their head, saying that, you know, may my sins be put onto this rooster. And if it's a woman,
Sharon, my father was raised in Poland, and his father, my grandfather, used to do the same thing, because you see, the Talmud says you can't even have Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, without the shedding of blood. Let's pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. Mishpocha, I am so excited about what God is doing on our television show. It's supernatural. Because you see, the scriptures tell us that the Jew requires a sign. The strategy that Jesus had when he went to the Jewish person first was signs and wonders to grab their attention so that they would know that what he said was coming from heaven, that he was in fact the Messiah. And so we have a television show that I call interactive. Why do I call it interactive? I wish you could see this piece of paper in my hand right now. It's got lists and lists of people that have written in that have been physically healed. Let me read a couple to you. You mentioned on your program, wait, God is healing someone's neck, and it's going down the spine. I jumped up out of my chair. I had no pain. As I rose this morning, I was hurting my legs and my back. I had no pain. I could bend over, touch my toes, jump up and down. And I've got page after page of these miracles. And here we are in just about every home in Israel with our television show. We're all throughout the U.S. We're offering my book, They Thought for Themselves. I want you to get a copy of this. It's my love gift to you. It has Sharon Allen's testimony in it, as mine is, Jewish people from every walk of life that have come to believe Jesus is the Messiah. And send the largest love gift that you can, because we're debt-free, and all your money goes to reach souls. He who wins souls is wise. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.